Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
Good morning. Alongside my man Sterling Bennett, we are stacked with producers today. Jersey Ken, Carter, all good to go. Ready to bring you nothing but some of the best live entertainment when it comes to sports talk radio, 95.7 The Game, from 9 to 12. We'll get into a myriad of things.
Myriad.
Starting with, of course, front and center, Sterling, let's just go 49ers. In the NFL draft, which continues today, rounds 4 through 7. How's your mock doing, by the way?
I will say the Niners' first-round draft pick, while I did have him going in round 2 to San Francisco, him going 31 being Ricky Pearsall was not on my draft board, nor do I think on many people's draft board as of Thursday night.
Well, let's start there. Ricky Pearsall to the San Francisco 49ers at number 31. And sort of the consensus was, what? I didn't have this guy in my mock draft, which just goes to show and to reiterate and to reestablish that none of us know what the hell it is that we're doing. As much as exactly. We want to play along and pretend that we're a GM for a month or two, that we all need to get lives when it comes to these mock drafts. But your thoughts on Ricky Pearsall, were you surprised? Is it a good pick? Should they have gone earlier in terms of trying to address their offensive line needs? Yeah. Where are you at?
I think, and having been here with Grandy and Evan on Thursday night, they were a little frustrated with the pick of you have players like Johnny Newton, defensive tackle. If you wanted to go that route, there were other players on the board that could have helped you at tackle. Kingsley Suamataya, Roger Rosengarten, both those guys going in front of San Francisco in the second round. There are also players like Cooper DeJean from Iowa, who I think could be a starting safety, if not a nickelback, on day one for this team. So I think as a group, Niner fans were a little taken back of, we have Debo, we have Ayuk, and we're going receiver, but I don't want that to distract from the truth that Ricky Pearsall is a really good player and does fit Kyle Shanahan's system, arguably to a T. He's a 5-year college player, was at Arizona State, Brandon Ayuk's former teammate there, coached by Herm Edwards, transferred to Florida, played with 3 separate quarterbacks down there at Florida with the Gators, and still produced with every single one of them. He's someone that is a good receiver over the middle, excellent separator, excellent route runner, willing blocker. If you know Kyle Shanahan, no block, no rock. I do think that may have been a separator for Pearsall amongst the group that was Jalen Polk and Ladd McConkey and the guys that you can say are probably mocked higher than him on the board. But I think Pearsall fits Shanahan's system as a slot receiver. He can also play outside. And he gives them what they've been lacking. in big games when Deebo Samuel's injured like he was this past year, when Ayuk's being double covered, and unlike Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall can get open by himself, not needing Kyle Shanahan's aid, which is an amazing scheme, but he's someone that can hurt a Steve Spagnuolo defense and say, hey, now you have to guard a third player that can gash you for 100 yards, if not two touchdowns at times.
Well, in theory.
Right,
because
right.
I've never seen the guy play a football game in the National Football League, so we like to think that the 49ers made a wise decision. Hey, listen, man, if you can make that one-handed grab with your right hand in traffic, I don't need to see anything more.
Yeah,
that's right up there with Jadeveon Clowney in terms of the best resume tape and one play at the collegiate level. Remember that South Carolina?
The one-play resume where it just carries you your entire career.
Well, Jadeveon Clowney turned out to be a decent pro. He was pretty good. But
with the Ravens last year, I think it was like 8.5 sacks, so it's not like he hasn't been good, but... Was it the number one overall pick?
Number one overall.
That one play took him all the way to the top.
Once again, does it sound familiar? A guy that went a little bit too high out of South Carolina that was an interior lineman? The 49ers have been down that road before. So what you think about, I get it. So the initial reaction by a lot of fans, as my mic just went out here, is that the San Francisco 49ers, I think, were drafting... Not necessarily by need, because I think if any of those offensive linemen, nine of which had come off the board by the time they picked at 31, which is sort of ridiculous, if somebody that they felt, because all of this, you know, that if there was somebody that they had higher than that of Ricky Pearsall, they would have drafted him. So it doesn't become an area of need at that point. I think it's just the best player available, which you hear time and time again, but I think that might be applicable to the 49ers on Thursday night.
Well, me and Grandy yesterday were talking about, because we got examples of this, I think, twice, where the Niners had a top 30 visit with Nate Wiggins, the cornerback from Clemson, and you would like to assume the way the draft board fell, late, a lot of good defensive backs, mainly cornerbacks, still on the board. That's a need for San Francisco. The Ravens take him at 30. Okay, like there's one guy we liked.
Yeah.
Probably would have taken off the board. Then you go to round two. Niners really like Roger Rosengarten. Tackle Washington, Joe Staley kind of helped him out during the draft process and getting ready for the NFL draft. Ravens, again, take him right in front of San Francisco. You can argue they could have gotten aggressive and traded up, but I think San Francisco at 31, to the consensus, to the fan base, it feels like a reach because you have Deebo and you have Ayuk, but... While I wouldn't say receiver was a need in the first round, I do think when you look at how the second round began yesterday, three receivers in the first five picks, there was no promise Pearsall was going to be there if you trade back to 40. And even then, San Francisco did try to trade back anyways to whether it's collect more picks this year or next year. They did try to move back because they probably said to themselves, if we take Pearsall 31, we know what's going to happen. The fan base might get angry at us. So I like the pick. I understand fans being hesitant. It's all projections. Like I told Grandy yesterday, I go, Caleb Williams could suck. And I would go, yeah, that's how the draft works. Guys who are amazing in college come in, and you're like, this weren't who they were in college. It's hard for players in a lot of schemes and how they fit in the offenses. They don't always translate to the NFL, which is why a lot of players fall to day three. They don't have the play strength to play in the NFL. Xavier Worthy from Texas, Kansas City trades up for him. 5'11", 160 pounds. There's no promise he lasts. There's no promise he even plays well. So there is some nuance to, well, I know you reach for a receiver maybe, but the guys that were traded up for to get in front of you to take a receiver also might fail as well.
It's all a big bet.
Yeah.
It's all a big gamble. You try and sort of alleviate some of the risk. You try and reduce, you know, some of the possibilities of scenarios that could go wrong. But at the end of the day, you're rolling the dice.
Exactly.
And every GM will tell you that. And every single year, you would think that GMs and the NFL, as well as the NBA, would get better at this. But no, it's just proven. Look at last year.
Yeah.
If you could redraft, who would you rather have? Stroud, or are you going to take Bryce Young? I mean, you know, Trey Young or Trey Lance certainly comes to mind. So,
or Trey Young or Luka Doncic.
Exactly.
That
Thank you very much. Yes. So, listen, we know that this is not a science. And then when it comes to the draft, I think when you think about the 49ers and their number 31 pick in the first round overall, the 49ers going with a wide receiver, the thinking there to me it's not necessarily in the short term,
yeah.
but also you have to think of this in the long term. While they might be stacked right now, think about this wide receiver room next year. If you sign, and that's an if, but I'm assuming that Brandon Ayuk, and we could talk about Ayuk as to whether or not he's going to be traded. I think he's coming back to the football team. But Deebo Samuel, if you're going to re-sign Brock Purdy, there's a good chance that he and his $24 million contract or $21 million, how much of that is guaranteed, is out the door. Juwan Jennings will not be a restricted free agent next year.
Right.
So you could go from having, as you stated, a stacked wide receiver room to one where there's a level of need.
Yep.
And now you've got a kid, Ricky Pearsall. We'll see how things materialize with him going forward, but he's got a year under his belt. So some of this, I think, is forward thinking on the part of the San Francisco 49ers. While what is considered stacked right now may not be the case a year from now in terms of the wide receivers for the 49ers.
We came into Thursday with kind of waiting on bated breath of, will the Niners trade one of their star receivers, whether it be Ayuk or Deebo? Did you buy into any of that? Because when I read it, I said, there's no way. There's no way a receiver-needy team picking in the first 20 picks in arguably one of the best receiver classes of all time is going to want to trade pick 17 like Jacksonville or Pittsburgh at 20 for a receiver when they can get one in the first or second round who's one-third, one-fourth of the price, is half the age, or not half the age, but 5 years younger. And in Deebo's case, 8 years younger. Like, I never bought into the idea of why would a team want to trade for Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk, who they're going to have to pay anyways.
Well, I think we sort of answered that when we were talking about the level of risk.
Yeah.
Because you're reducing that risk. If you really need a wide receiver, Deebo Samuel is proven. Deebo Samuel is a game changer if used properly and if he gets in the right scheme, the right system. So if I'm going to get somebody that's proven, plug and play, or am I going to take a roller on a kid that, yes, has the credentials, the lofty credentials in a first-round pick, but still that unknown quantity, am I willing to do that? I think that potentially Deebo Samuel, that there might have been trades on the table. It just becomes, Sterling, at that point, a question of assets. Just how much are you going to give me for Deebo Samuel? Is this? I doubt if anybody was on the table in terms of a first round.
Probably not.
But if you were going to move up to the second round, and if you were going to give me multiple picks, it's something that I think that they would have to consider. But I think that the San Francisco 49ers are good with the wide receivers they have right now and not trading Brandon Ayuk and or Deebo Samuel. And the reason is, why not have an all-star cast?
Yeah.
Because you don't, the salary cap right now is something that they're going to have to put their, they're going to have to deal with next year. In terms of this upcoming campaign, you're okay, right?
Yeah.
And so go win that damn Super Bowl. Like,
yeah.
Why not just stack the deck so that you have absolutely everybody in place, including Brock Purdy, who's now got a year of experience under his belt, and go win the Super Bowl. Get the monkey off your back. How many times do you want to go to the threshold or just look over the cliff and saying what could have been? So I think that this idea that we drafted a wide receiver that makes somebody expendable, no. Just make this team so good that you have so much talent at so many different positions, and then you've got to obviously pick up some pieces here and there, and they're so good in the middle rounds that you finally win that Super Bowl. And that's where I think they're at right now, is that we've come close enough and we're tired of being the bridesmaid. Let's go ahead and get this thing next year.
Trading away Deebo or Ayuk, whether it was a first-round pick, multiple mid-round picks, day two picks, would have been a departure from what they've sold us the past three or four seasons, which is we are going all in on this core, whether it to be a 1 year and just put all the, you know, all the chips in and say, let's go, or it's to build the next core. And getting rid of Eric Armstead doesn't depart you from that, doesn't take you off your journey of being all in for a season. But having a young quarterback and Brock Purdy on the cheapest contract in almost the entire NFL when it comes to starting quarterbacks would be when you get rid of Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk. Especially, I think Ayuk does have a little more value to a quarterback like Brock Purdy, because the way he plays and how Purdy plays as well compared to Deebo. I think Deebo is more of a Jimmy G kind of quarterback, which Purdy isn't as reliant on a player like Deebo as Jimmy G was, but it isn't to say that Deebo can't carry your offense. I guarantee you that Deebo been healthy through three playoff games against the Packers, Lions, and Chiefs. Those games, I don't know if the outcome is different because they won two of those, but at least the games themselves look a lot different. And I also wouldn't take it back if Kyle Shanahan said one of the reasons why we said, let's get a receiver now, yes, for the future, but also because I'm tired of seeing Deebo Samuel not on the field against the Lions, the Packers, and the Chiefs. If Deebo Samuel plays against Kansas City, injuries aren't his fault, but the way he plays, he's not built to play 20 games a season. And you got to have somebody else, and I like Juwan Jennings, but there's no way Juwan Jennings should be throwing and catching touchdowns in the Super Bowl for you when you have McCaffrey, Ayuk, Deebo. So, yes, I think Pearsall is an impact player this year, whether it be in the slot or alleviating some injuries somewhere and replacing somebody, but I don't think them drafting a receiver is to say someone else could be gone. I think that's next year's conversation.
Yeah, I agree with that. And let's just keep in mind, because suddenly, you know, the talk of Deebo Samuel being expendable and now being the guy as the odd quote-unquote man out, let's just remind ourselves, not that I necessarily have to go here, just how good of a football player he is. And he may not necessarily fit into the system. While I agree with you, that I think that we're witnessing sort of a changing of the guard in terms of their identity.
I agree.
That this has always been, quote-unquote, a run-first football team. I don't know if that statistically is supported with Brock Purdy and what it is that he did, especially in the latter part of the season. This is a team that now wants to throw the football. Deebo Samuel's strength is not necessarily, and it never has been, his route running.
Right.
He is not what you would call a good traditional wide receiver, but what he is a football player.
Yeah.
You put the ball in his hands and nobody has more rack than this guy because you're just simply not bringing him down. So obviously teams like that of the 49ers, or should he get dealt, you get creative in terms of just making sure whether he's lined up as a hybrid or as a running back, that he's somebody that just gets the ball in his hands. And whether that's via screen or some sort of a shallow cross, that's Deebo Samuel. But the identity of this football team, I think, is beginning to change because they're becoming more I think they're throwing the ball first as opposed to what has been sort of the trademark with Kyle Shanahan in terms of running it between the tackles. That's our bread and butter. I don't know that that necessarily applies to this team going forward.
Well, let's not forget McCaffrey did have the second most attempts in the entire NFL last year behind Derrick Henry. So I wouldn't say it's they're getting away from the run. I just think they're able to pass more. And it was a team last year, even the past 2 years, who almost led the entire NFL in interceptions. So they're getting the ball back for the offense more, so it seems like they're throwing more. I do think with Brock Purdy, they're sustaining drives longer than they were with Jimmy Garoppolo. The offense just feels like they don't have to run the ball three straight times for a first down. They can pass for 4 or 5 yards here, and they can also hit a guy 45 yards downfield, which if you look at Ricky Pearsall and what he can do for the offense, he's someone, when you see a receiver and you say, what does the Kyle Shanahan prototype look like? It is Ricky Pearsall. I came into this year hoping we can get him in the second round. Now, 31 to some may be a reach, but I looked at every single receiver that was attainable. You're not getting Neighbors or Harrison or Odunze, but of those kind of late first, second round guys, Ricky Pearsall just screams Kyle Shanahan type receiver who can separate himself. He's fast. He has, what, 4.3, 4.4 speed. Relatively smaller for a slot receiver, but he's 6'1", 190, so it's
for a slot, he's pretty tall.
But it's not like he's Xavier Worthy, who's 5'11", who has taken, what, three picks ahead of him, and they didn't have to trade up to get him. So I think what Pearsall does is it allows San Francisco to get a guy they like, they love, in the system, who could have been one of their gold helmet players, which means they're infatuated with him for one season now. Have him be somewhat of an impact player, but in 1 year's time, when you probably say goodbye to Deebo Samuel, you have two guys on probably the outside in Pearsall and Ayuk that say, hey, you guys can almost beat any cornerback you're lined up across. So in that, I do think there may be an identity shift with San Francisco of like, no longer are we reliant on line of scrimmage play with Deebo. It's, no, 15 yards downfield, 10 yards downfield, where when we've seen the league get more vertical, I think San Francisco is going towards that as well.
Well, the one thing that we do know from Brock Purdy is that he's most effective between the hashes. He likes to throw the ball over the middle of the field, and that's where this guy lives. And his stop and start and his quickness and his ability to be shifty in the middle of the field is really where you see this sort of combination and the rapport and the connection between these two. Again, not necessarily looking at this in the short term, but sort of in the long term. When people continue to refer to this as a reach, I immediately have to just come back at anybody and say, how could it be a reach? He went 31. It's a reach to you and your mock draft, but you and your mock draft down in the basement of your mother's house mean absolutely nothing. If he went 31, he was worthy of going number 31, meaning that the 49ers and their scouts who do this for a living 365 days and watching every snap at every one of these coconuts going back to their high school days, if they take him at 31, he's not a reach. He's a reach to you, but you and your mock draft, you know what you can do with that thing. But in all seriousness, I think that he could be a huge asset to this football team, but just in case he's not that impact player, again, you have the security of Brandon Ayuk as well as Deebo Samuel. Getting back to Brandon Ayuk, how much is he going to get paid? Is he, do you think, we've seen contractually that the San Francisco 49ers can draw this thing out, right? I mean, typically, it's only, for crying out loud, it's April.
Well, his leverage is kind of gone, right? You're not getting traded. You're going to be here. You're either you're playing or you're holding out. And if you hold out, then you don't get the accrued season. So it does affect your pay the next season and what they can franchise tag you or whatnot. So Ayuk's going to get paid. It's probably going to be upwards of $25, $27 million on average. He's not going to get $84 million guaranteed like A.J. Brown will get, but he'll be around, you know, $60 million guaranteed, which is over Deebo Samuel, which fits his market value. So if any fan is worried of we're not going to pay B.A. because we didn't trade Deebo, no. These guys are going to be back this year.
Yeah, it's just a matter of money and dollars and cents. Yeah. And we've been listen, if this is the first go-round, maybe there's some level of nerves between the 49ers and
we're like five contract negotiations deep with their players gotten signed.
It's almost part of the song and dance that the 49ers do with their star players. Going back to Deebo 2 years ago, yeah. Nick Bosa, George Kittle, and usually these things get done in the middle of the summer. You hope that it doesn't get as prolonged like that of a year ago with Nick Bosa, which I think really sort of affected him and the team.
Oh, it did.
I mean, that thing didn't get done until September, he missed all of camp.
I think it was a Thursday or Wednesday prior to week one against Pittsburgh.
So you want to definitely get this thing done, get him back in camp, make sure that he is happy as your number one, and he's going to come in at, I would say he's going to be somewhere around $24 million because I think that you have to focus, and I don't want to get into the weeds. Maybe you live in this space, but when it comes to the guaranteed...
In my mom's basement doing mock drafts.
Not you, but when it comes to the guaranteed money, that's all you have to focus
exactly,
on.
Exactly, yes.
Because I think A.J. Brown, his average was what? Yeah, I think, what was the length of the average
of
the contract?
It was a three-year extension for plus $30 million a year.
Yeah, but a lot
like
of...
33.
So
it's crazy.
It was crazy, but I think that what you're taking into account there is the third year, which isn't guaranteed. And what they do is they'll backload all of that and make it look as though it's – so I think that third year, he's getting something like, you know, $35, $40 million.
Right.
So that when you take the contract in its totality and you average it out, it comes to $30 million a year.
Right.
But in reality, the guaranteed money is what you have to focus on.
$84 million, which is – I think it supersedes Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, but I don't think the 84 is guaranteed, is what I'm saying.
It says $84 million guaranteed.
Well, there's total guarantee.
Right.
And then there's the guarantee. Because, again, that last year of the contract, is if it's not guaranteed, it can't be taken in. You can't do the accounting and then come up with a year or a year average.
Right.
So I think it's just, again, you have to focus on if the first 2 years are guaranteed, if that's $50 million, then it's a 25-year per is the average. It's not 2 years of guaranteed that the last year isn't guaranteed and it's $40 million a year and you factor that into the year average. If any of this is making sense, this is the reason why I didn't get out of geometry. I'm getting a headache.
Take Malik Collins, the defensive tackle San Francisco acquired from the Texans this year. He has $10 million guaranteed this year. He's going to be on the roster. Next year, though, no guarantees. Every NFL team works the contracts in a way, especially with Deebo Samuel, who if they move off of him next year, they can save roughly around $18 million because they all work it in a way where that last year of the contract, it makes you more, they can get out of it a lot easier. So with A.J. Brown, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, all these guys are the same unless they rework these things and like San Francisco likes to do and kick that can down the road and restructure guys. Ayuk's contract will have these staggering numbers, but the last year or two will be San Francisco can probably get out of that contract pretty easily.
When you talk about Ricky Pearsall, first of all, great name.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, if your name's Ricky Pearsall, you're pretty much in the 90% percentile that you're going to be a professional athlete.
Slick Rick.
I mean, Ricky Pearsall, he should be a NASCAR guy.
Have you heard the nicknames?
No.
So Slick Rick is one, as Ken pointed out, but the other one is Yak Harlow, which is great. But you said he was 90th percentile in regards to being an NFL player or a NASCAR driver. What if I told you coming into this season, combine testing, pro day testing, he is far and away better than Brandon Ayuk was?
Yeah.
Like, well, I get it's testing. It isn't actually playing. But to some, as Jerry Y on the YouTube chat points out, Ayuk was a reach. Well, Pearsall tested better than Ayuk did. So why do we look at Pearsall as a reach when in reality, he tested better than Ayuk did, and they didn't have to trade up for Pearsall, and he was picked, what, 6 picks later than Ayuk was in 2020?
Yeah, well, again, I guess it's how much emphasis you're putting on in the combine.
Right, right, right.
If Joe Montana was coming out, and he I think he ran like a 5.6 40.
Probably wouldn't test well.
So, again, a lot of this is, are you a football player or are you not?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of guys that do well in the combine, and a lot of guys that just simply aren't very good football players. You know, a perfect example? I'll give you the comp. I don't know if you guys have talked about this, but when people talk about why you're taking a wide receiver and how much difference can a wide receiver make, all you got to do is point at the Los Angeles Rams. That was supposed to be a rebuild last year.
Yeah.
Why were the Rams significant last year? Yes, Stafford was good, and he was a bit of a reclamation project, but I'll give you two words, and that's Puka Nacua.
Yeah.
And that dude was, I want to say, was he fifth round? Third round?
He was day three.
And, I mean, this is a
guy.
Which
is today, so who never know.
And he ran like a 4.6 40 as far as the combine is concerned.
Oh,
but
yeah,
that's a football player.
Didn't test well.
That's a guy who knows how, he knows how to work the middle of the field.
Yeah.
And he set the rookie record for receptions and yards.
Yeah.
So when we get hung up on combines, height and weight, he went at about the same size. I want to say about 6'1", 6'2". The one thing about when you're looking at the profile that is Mr. Pearsall, his height, I think, is 6'1".
Yeah.
I think he can play
it's
slot or to the outside. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the weight. I mean,
exactly.
If that's anything, he's under 200 bills.
He's 190.
You know what he needs? He needs to get back to your diet when you were in high school. All right.
Just bulking up on soda and Oreos.
Boom. All right, Sterling Bennett. We got New Jersey, Ken, and my man Carter. All, God, man, look at this. One big family. Bring it in, fellas. Let's huddle as we go to the break. We'll talk more. What do you want to get into, Sterling, when we come back?
I would say, when's the last time we've had a weekend show that's had two producers and two hosts at the same time?
That's what I mean.
That way.
You know what it means? That the 2-on-2 basketball Nerf hoop game is back intact.
We're playing shooty hoop again at 95.7 The Game.
We'll be back right after this.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now back to the kickoff show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back as we talk about the San Francisco 49ers in the NFL draft.
Four through seven,
the rounds that'll go off today. Dan Avone alongside Sterling Bennett, Jersey Ken Carter. We are stacked here today. Got you covered for the next couple of hours as we'll detail the picks as they come down.
Kyrie Jackson going to the Vikings. I'm sure Granny's out there screaming, go Ducks. Troy Franklin goes early. Kyrie Jackson just went, man.
Now, do you really know these guys? Are you just reading off the screen?
I can read my board right now. Let me get to my cornerbacks on my big board. Kyrie Jackson's about 6'3", 200 pounds, almost 33-inch arms. Good tackler, 4.5 speed. Arguably the second best cornerback at the catch point. Suppress corners, how to invade space. I am Mel Kiper Jr.
No, you really do have this stuff down. We were talking about it at the break. And how many guys you got in your phone?
Roughly 212. So I'm ready to go for day three of the NFL draft.
You know, some of the nicknames that are coming down. By the way, why don't we open it up? If you got a nickname for Ricky Pearsall, I don't think he needs one. With your name's Ricky Pearsall, you're destined for greatness in this world.
We did get into the weeds last night in regards to Dominic Pooney.
Oh, wow.
It was a little too deep for Fire Radio, but we won't go there this morning.
Yeah, there's just something about Dominic Pooney I would not touch.
I thought it was Puny.
Yeah. Whatever it is, brother.
Either way.
You can stretch it to a really inappropriate angle.
Jersey, I dare you to walk up to the man and call him Puny.
Absolutely not. I would say he's not Puny. Exactly. He's a pretty big guy.
Sticky Rick is not something I'm going with either when it comes to Ricky Pearsall, as I see on the 415 in the chat line. Let Jimmy Jacket. Yeah, we'll give you an early shout out because it is indeed a football show. But the San Francisco 49ers, as you know, obviously everybody's tuned in when the place is sold out at ESPN. They kick it off at 5 o'clock, and people here in these parts with bated breath are waiting for number 31 in the first round. But when you think about it, while there may be less fanfare, this is really where the 49ers make their damage, right?
Yeah.
This is when they go to work. And if you look through the Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch tenure over the last 7 years, going back to Fred Warner, going back to George Kittle, it is these rounds where San Francisco finds their bread and butter. Since you know this better than anybody, is there somebody that you'd like to see come off the board that could help the San Francisco 49ers that's within their reach in the next hour or so?
Well, it depends on what position they want, but they haven't taken a defensive lineman yet, whether it be the interior or an edge rusher. I am someone who looks at the interior defensive line and says, you don't really have a run-stuffing defensive tackle. You have Hargrave and Malik Collins, who are double-digit sack kind of guys, but there is one player that I can see being picked relatively early on day number three, Leonard Taylor from Miami, 6'3", 305 pounds, one of the better run defenders in the entire class. As Brandon Dorlus goes to the Falcons right now, he was on San Francisco's top 30 pick list, so that's another defensive tackle off the board for the Niners. But back to Taylor, they don't have a run-defending defensive tackle, and you watch this team late last season, the run was their kryptonite, and you've seen what they've done in the offseason, trying to get better tackling, better special teamers, and improve the areas in which they have to improve upon or had holes at last year. Leonard Taylor, I think, fits the mold of what San Francisco needs early on day three, but I also think early on in his career, he doesn't have to be an every down player. He had 0 sacks and only 10 pressures against the pass in the ACC, so there are concerns of, is he going to be a pass rushing defensive tackle on this team, at least this year, and next to Hargrave in the next couple years? He doesn't have to be, so you want to stuff the run, go get Leonard Taylor, defensive tackle from Miami.
Yeah, well, they need help against the run, especially in the middle of that defensive line. But also, again, aside from Bosa, who's setting that other edge?
It continues
to be an area of concern. You get Floyd, but because it was always whether it was DeForest Buckner or whether it was Armstead, who obviously got moved to the middle and played more of the nose over the center. But, you know, it seemed to be sort of their go-to, where they would stack these defensive linemen, especially on the edge. And now it seems to be more of an area of need than ever before. Is that a fair assessment?
I wouldn't say it's a desperate need. You're probably not going to find a starter on day three. Now, you might. You might find your Kittles. You may find your DJ Jones kind of players. I do think for the Niners, they do find themselves at a place where you have Leonard Floyd, probably going to start opposite Bosa. He's someone who doesn't miss time. He's very durable. They did sign Yetur Gross-Matos, but there are a handful of edge rushers I do think you get them with Chris Kocerek, albeit they're maybe raw or had injury history in college. Austin Booker from Kansas comes to mind. I believe he's still on the board. Kind of a boomer bust player, but needs some coaching. He can really wow you. Again, he's 6'4", 240 pounds. He fits the mold of what San Francisco likes. They've been searching for the speed rusher since D Ford got hurt and hasn't played much. Obviously gone now off the team. So you want to get a little deeper into the weeds? I do like a player named Xavier Thomas from Clemson. I think injury history has kind of knocked him down the board. Probably a fifth, sixth round pick, but he's 6'2", 244 pounds, really fast, really quick. He can really give offensive tackles fits at the NFL, but he is 25. That said, every player San Francisco has picked so far, from Pearsall to Renardo Green to Pooney, they've all been 5 to 6 year players. So he'd actually fit that mold of who they've been going for, experience over maybe high potential. So I would not be shocked if you hear on day three Xavier Thomas's name linked to San Francisco at some point.
Where is Drake Jackson in all of this as I continue to stay on the edge? And yes, injured. Leonard Floyd. He's injured, but is he sort of gone the way of Javon Kinlaw, or is there still an upside, and are they still high on this guy? Because there are moments where you're like, okay, that's, you know, because he does these somersaults and backflips. Right. Like, that's the athlete. Is he still a guy that they have high on their board?
Well, I think Niner fans this past year, going back to week one, they saw him get 3 sacks and said, wow, if we have that production. Now, he's not going to get 3 sacks every game, but it gave fans high hopes that he can be the edge rusher opposite Nick Bosa. That being said, he had 3 sacks and then didn't do anything else the rest of the year. He got injured. I think there's still hope simply because he is the athletic freak and he does have the high potential. But as you progress, there's a reason why they signed 2 edge rushers this year. There's a reason why they're high on Robert Beal Jr. from Georgia, draft pick of last year. So I wouldn't go as far as to say there's no promise Jackson makes the roster, but I would say this. There's no promise he's not their 4th edge rusher entering the season, which former second-round pick, it's not what you want to hear if you're Drake Jackson coming off an injury.
Leonard Floyd, of course, looks to fill that, what has really been sort of a gap. I mean, you thought Chase Young was going to be that guy. I mean, they've yet to really find that since D Ford's departure, who is coming off the edge along with Nick Bosa, because obviously – you've got Bosa, but if I can hedge and if I can keep a back in or keep 2 players on Bosa, then I've taken care essentially of your pass rush. So again, it's been that one area of concern is who can be the other person to offset Nick Bosa. They've plugged and played a lot of people. Up next, Leonard Floyd. We'll see whether Floyd, who certainly comes in with high credentials and played so well with their rival, the Los Angeles Rams, when you get to the back 7, what are the areas of concern? Obviously, corner alongside Charvarius Ward. Diamador Lenore, good at times, but I think maybe not a high level of need, but always getting corners is an area where the 49ers look to improve. What can you tell us about the young man they took off the board yesterday?
Yeah, so yesterday, I think the Renardo Green pick did shock myself and Mark Grandy. We were like, okay, like this is not who we expected. That said, I dove into him last night on BART on the way home, and reading up on him, The talk was, being Lewis Riddick of ESPN said that they may have gotten the best press man coverage corner in the entire draft. And that's high praise for a player in the second round. But I dove into what is Renardo Green's tape and film and the scouting report last night. 75% of his snaps came in press man coverage. Very fluid feet and hips. But here's the thing. 25.8% forced incompletion rate last year. 17th highest in all of college football. He only gave up 14 first downs, and when you watch him against LSU, Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr., both first-round receivers this year, Brian Thomas being one receiver that was linked to San Francisco if they traded Brandon Ayuk, he almost made them invisible, and he also picked off Jaden Daniels, who went number 2 this year at the NFL draft, to the Commanders. So he's someone who is not afraid of big moments, and in a cornerback room where Lenore, Ambry Thomas, Mooney Ward, Isaac Yiadom, all those guys are on the last year of their contracts or on a 1-year deal. A player like Renardo Green, if you want to get crazy, there are a lot of traits that he shares with Mooney Ward. So I wouldn't be surprised if not just wanting to fit this year, but it is a pick like Pearsall to look for next year as well.
Just staying with that back 7 as we get into the safeties, Jair Brown got an opportunity to play and played well at times.
Picked off Mahomes in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, a slow start for him, but a good football player. Although there were some glaring mistakes at times, as there, you know, certainly a rookie is going to be prone to do. But when it comes to him or Talanoa Hufanga, who is still not necessarily at 100%, are those two just going to vie it out in camp for the starting position alongside who? Is it Gibson?
Right, so that's the question of if Hufanga isn't healthy, and there were a lot of reports, Mike Silver being the leading driving force of the reports, that the Niners may not be completely sold on Hufanga going forward. Now, does the injury play a big role in that? Maybe. Jair Brown, to me, fits more of the strong safety role, which is Talanoa Hufanga's spot on the depth chart and his starting role. So it just depends. There maybe is a chance Tashawn Gibson comes back. There are names still on the safety market. Quandre Diggs, who played in Seattle the past couple years, he has similarities and a fit with the scheme San Francisco is going back to. Justin Simmons, the Denver Broncos safety the last couple years, former All-Pro, he's still out there. Those guys are probably going to sign after the draft. That said, if you want to find yourself a free safety this year, it's not like a lot of talent's still on the board. Now, to be fair, Green, their second-round pick this year, plays nickel, has played outside, and has also played safety, so there is flexibility. But if I'm the Niners, I would not be shy of going to players like Dominique Hampton from Washington, a six-year player which fits the mold they've gone to this year. Good tackler, albeit very conservative, but kind of like Tashawn Gibson, you do want a free safety, or a strong safety, that is, in Hampton's case, that if you're going to have players like Hufanga and Brown that take chances and will take risks, a conservative player behind them isn't the worst thing in the world. But I do know San Francisco and Sione Vaki from Utah, they have been infatuated with him the entire draft process, have talked to him like 15,000 times. So there are two safeties out there that could fit what San Francisco likes to do. They would also be able to fit next to Hufanga or Jair Brown this year.
Theoretically, though, couldn't you just play both of the kids, meaning Talanoa Hufanga?
I think that's the hope.
Yeah.
I think that was the plan last year when you picked Jair Brown. I don't know if I buy into the idea Hufanga's on the outs. I just think it comes down to last year your contract, off an ACL, can we pay you? What do you want, and are you healthy? That's, I think, what it all comes down to.
Yeah, that's life in the NFL. I mean, this guy went from being certainly not only one of the favorites here in San Francisco, but an impact player. I mean, think about this time a year ago when you talked about defenses for the 49ers. One of the first names that would jump to mind, especially when you're talking about safeties and defensive backs, was Talanoa Hufanga, who's the tightness and the comparisons between him and Polamalu, and an impact football player. And then boom, ACL, and suddenly up next is, you know, who's next?
Exactly.
And then suddenly his whole career with the San Francisco 49ers sort of hanging in the balance. But getting back to the offensive side of things, has San Francisco, when you look at this team now with the addition of Ricky Pearsall, the offensive line now, because I'm thinking at all the skill positions, you certainly can go out and get somebody,
right,
which is not what I would call an area
it's
of need.
It's not a need, no.
But when you think about the offensive line, obviously everybody can help with the offensive line, and certainly the San Francisco 49ers. Tell us more about this kid, Mr. Pooney out of Kansas.
Yeah, so Dominic Pooney yesterday, when they picked him, I think there was this overwhelming rejoicing of Niner fans. They wanted an offensive lineman in the first round, didn't get it. Second round, didn't get it. And when they finally got an offensive lineman, I think it was a collective, now we can protect Brock Purdy, hopefully. And I don't know if Pooney fits as a starter in year one. I think he certainly can be. But I also believe that San Francisco, and they've shown us this, is comfortable going into this season with McKivitz as their right tackle.
Yikes.
They brought back John Feliciano back to be their right guard. So I'm not someone who is just like, Pooney or Pooney has to start day one. But I do think Dominic Pooney is the third highest drafted offensive lineman by Kyle Shanahan. McGlinchey was one, I think, at 9 overall in 2018. 2020 or 2021 was Aaron Banks, right? Now it's Dominic Pooney. The two other guys have started or have been starters for them the past 2 years. McGlinchey obviously now in Denver, but I think Pooney projects to be a starter. Aaron Banks on a 1 year or last year of his contract. Feliciano, a 1 year deal. You probably don't trust Spencer Burford too much after what happened against Kansas City when Feliciano got hurt. So Pooney has tackle flexibility. He can also play guard, but he's also a big human being. He's 6'5, 313 pounds, 6 years in college. Transferred to Kansas. Didn't allow a single sack in over 380 pass protection snaps this year. Great pass blocker, And when you talk about a player like Brock Purdy, who had two stingers last year, smaller quarterback, what do you want to do? You want to make sure he stays standing up. I like the Puni pick. Obviously, you can play devil's advocate and say he could have got a guy earlier in the draft. I get that, but they obviously liked Puni enough to trade back in the second round and let players like Rosengarten and Sua Matea go to teams like the Ravens and the Chiefs ahead of them. So I think what San Francisco has done is they've taken players who are 5 to 6 year college players, experienced and also proven. They have not taken a project yet. And to me, that screams instant impact players, whether it's a sixth offensive lineman, because guys will get hurt, or starters on day one.
What it tells me, beginning with Ricky Pearsall, is that you're looking to win an NFL Super Bowl next year. That this is not a team that is built for 2 or 3 years from now. Now, I think that Pearsall sort of fits both modes in that should he get run his rookie year, that's certainly a win for the 49ers. But as we just talked about, if he's a long-term project and that wide receiver room looks very different this time a year ago, with Juwan Jennings out the door, Deebo Samuel gone to move some money and free up money for that of Brock Purdy, you're going to need a Ricky Pearsall. But I think when you look about this football team right now, and most football fans live in the here and now, this is a team right now that's saying, I can't do this any longer in terms of watching Kansas City win a Super Bowl twice, going up against this team and losing to them. Let's go beat the crap out of KC or whoever the hell is coming out of the AFC. Kyle Shanahan, I think, is making the declaration that we're not here to play second fiddle any longer. Like, I can't go through another offseason going to a Super Bowl and losing, or going to an NFC Championship game and then losing my starting quarterback, as was the case 2 years ago against Philadelphia. That winning that Super Bowl right now is an obsession, and I think it's being sort of reflected in this year's draft.
Which is so funny, because Kansas City trades up ahead of San Francisco for Xavier Worthy in the first round, and then in the second round, San Francisco trades back with Kansas City and lets them take Kingsley Sulamatea. So obviously it comes down to fit and need. Kingsley Sulamatea was, again, going back to my mom's basement, was mocked to San Francisco a lot on a lot of draft boards. So there have been some moves, like the Bills trading back with Kansas City made no sense to me in regards to you're going to give KC, a team you can't get past, a shot at a better player in the first round. Why would you do that? Niners, the same thing in the second round. Obviously, again, it comes down to fit and need and want, but I do think the pressure this year for the Niners, if it already wasn't, is if you don't win a Super Bowl now, and with the fashion of how they lost last year, I'm not saying hot seat, but I do know that demoralizes a front office and a fan base. Like, the fan base this year, whether it's Chris O'Connell, who works here in the back cutting games, or even me and Grandy, were like, I'm kind of tired of watching football for a while. Like, this season was so long and drawn out, and if it sucks for us to watch a team go this far and falter, like, the Niners should have won that game in February. The fan base feels that way. Imagine how the players feel. And now you're watching leaders like Armstead get moved to Jacksonville and Deebo Samuel could be gone. It's not as if the pressure isn't felt in the building. And if you're Kyle Shanahan, I can almost guarantee you he is tired of watching and having to answer questions of, hey, Kyle, you failed twice. How's it feel?
And I think that Kyle, as well as everybody else, also recognizes that when we talk about windows being open, especially when it comes to the NFL, it's ajar.
Yeah.
And so it's not open very wide. And this is your opportunity. And you never know whether the stars are going to align. You sort of fell into Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
This could be a completely different narrative for the 49ers if Mr. Irrelevant wasn't as good as he is. So the 49ers, they're at where they're at. And so you have the opportunity to finally win that thing. And you know that you have to put all your chips in the middle of the table. And again, that's why I think Ricky Pearsall is with his football team. It's now you just give yourself even more stars.
Yeah.
It's almost like that of the Golden State Warriors. Is like, really, you, Kevin Durant? Like, why Kevin Durant? Well, because we're looking to win more NBA championships.
It's funny you bring that up, because my mother, who doesn't love.
And by the way, Ricky Pearsall is not akin to that of Kevin Durant.
He actually is Kevin Durant. Yeah. But it's funny you bring up KD, because my mother and I were talking about this, and you know, she doesn't like football that much, but she watches. She's a big Brock Purdy fan, as everyone is. She was talking about, well, there's a reason why the Warriors went and got KD, to open up lanes for Steph and Clay and have Draymond do things. And she wasn't, again, comparing Pearsall to KD, but what she was saying was that it opens up lanes for Debo and Ayuk, or even Pearsall himself, to be an impact player day one. That now it's somebody else for defenses to have to take into account. Because when Debo got hurt against the Browns and didn't play against the Vikings and the Bengals, there was a clear deficit on offense of who are we. Now, there was some context involved in that, some interceptions, some fumbles by McCaffrey against the Vikings, but then you see it again in the playoffs. It just gives the opposing defense not just one or two players. Now there's three guys, and we haven't even talked about George Kittle yet. You get all these guys involved. I would love to see a five-wide formation at a certain point this year of Debo, Pearsall, Jennings, Ayuk, Kittle, and maybe Aiden McCaffrey in the backfield. Like, who do you stop? Every lane is now open for the Niners, whereas last year it already felt that way, but now coming into this year, it's like good luck stopping an offense which got a first-round talent at receiver this year too.
Just staying with the Warrior analogy, could you make this comparison with Draymond Green and Debo Samuel, and that being that as much as Draymond Green has some warts and people can do that Warriors live, Warriors This Week live, and obviously, there is a strong contingent that doesn't like Draymond Green, and with good reason, I can understand it. But there's obviously, you know, statistically supports that this guy, when he's not with the basketball team, they're just not as good. They have a tendency to lose games. However you want to quantify it, you can't look at the stat sheet and really sort of see what it is, or nor does it highlight exactly how important Draymond Green is to wins and losses for that of the Golden State Warriors. When Debo Samuel, and granted, there is not a lot more tread on the tires there because the guy has been playing football for a while and he plays at a very different level, more than, I'd say, more unique than any other wide receiver in the game.
Right.
Because the guy likes, he's looking for contact. But again, while the system may not necessarily fit him as it once did under Jimmy Garoppolo and company, that simply put, when this guy is not playing games for the San Francisco 49ers, like that of Draymond Green, you're just simply not that good. And you can say, you know, X, Y, and Z in justifying trading him and or moving off on Debo Samuel, but as we sit here today, he is still a vital, vital component to the success of the 49ers.
And I think that's what Granny and Evan were getting at when I was defending the Pearsall pick as a player, saying, well, maybe too rich. They were saying, you can't afford to lose Debo Samuel, or Brandon Ayuk for that case, but Debo Samuel, when he's on the field like a Draymond Green, he's this imposing figure, he's the energy, whether it's on defense, for Debo, it's obviously on offense, but they just bring the factor, like Trent Williams, Ayuk, Purdy have talked about with Debo that he is the energy. When they walk out there with the boombox, who's leading the charge of, let's go destroy the competition. We're going to run through you, and we're going to impose our will. It's Trent Williams and Debo Samuel. And they went through a stretch this year. Both those guys were injured and didn't play, or at least were hindered when they played. So I think there is a lot of comparisons. I think the Warriors are a little more tied to Draymond than the Niners are Debo Samuel, because there's five guys that play on a court for your team in the NBA. There's 11 that play on the gridiron for the Niners. I do think the Niners could feasibly, in 1 year's time, move off of Debo and not lose themselves or their identity on offense. But this year alone, at least, he's a very important cog in the machine of, there's nobody in the NFL like him. Unless you want to talk about projecting Malachi Corley, who has been heralded as Debo Samuel Jr., to the Jets. Like, Debo Samuel is one of a kind as of right now. And everybody from the Giants to KC have been looking for a player like that, because he's that special of an offensive player.
All right, we'll continue to talk about the 49ers picks 4-7. That's where the Niners do their damage. We'll detail it for you. Also, we'll get into Everybody in the NFL, including the Atlanta Falcons. Michael Penix, come on down. What are you, drunk Atlanta? We'll discuss that. Everything in the draft 2024. Sterling Bennett, Dan Avone, back with much more after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.